Joshua chapter 1, Ephesians chapter 6. Joshua 1, Ephesians 6. While you're turning, let me say, part of the prophecies that will be fulfilled is there will be a lot of changes in the last days. Church, Laodicea, church age, will turn to one that is worthy to be spewed out of Jesus' mouth. They'll be blind, poor, and wretched, even though they think they have something, they don't. They will flirt with the world will feel comfortable with them. The Bible tells us there'll be many seducing spirits, that we will see the spiritual side of issues coming back more prominent. We'll see, as a matter of fact, we'll see the devil and the evil influence. The Bible says evil men will wax worse and worse, and we'll see his hand all around it. The devil will be an angel of light. The Bible prophesies that be many false teachers, many false prophets. In Ephesians chapter 6, Paul warns us, and the other one's Joshua chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 6, many of you are familiar with this portion of Scripture, but I wanted to read it before I got into Joshua, because I want to refer back to it in a little while. It says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong," verse number 10, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." Folks, that's our enemy. That's who we're fighting against. Regardless of whether you realize or not, it's all around us. And everywhere we turn, we got to face this enemy. It says in verse 13, "Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, having done all to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt with truth, having your breastplate of righteousness, your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking a shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation, sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints." And so, remember that Paul gives us a commandment to stand, to continue to stand, to keep standing, to keep standing, to keep standing. We're going to have a lot of battles. We're going to have a lot of, we've got a lot of enemies. Those are enemies of high places. And so we're going to have them. Look, if you would, in Joshua chapter number 1. In Joshua chapter number 1, the Bible says in verse number 1, "Now after the death of Moses, a servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, into the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that I have given unto you, as I said unto Moses, from the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, and all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea, toward the going down of the sun, shall be your coast. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so shall I be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Be strong and of good courage, for unto this people shall thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto your fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, and thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For when thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. Then Joshua commanded the officers of the people, saying, pass through the host, and command the people, saying, prepare ye victuals, for within 3 days ye shall pass over this Jordan, to go into the possess the land which the Lord your God giveth you to possess it. And to the Reubenites and the Gadites and half the tribe of Manasseh spake Joshua, saying. Now the reason why he picked half of the tribe of Manasseh and Reuben and Gad is because they had made a contract, and they had asked permission because of the fertility of the land to stay on the east side of the Jordan River, and they were permitted to do that, but Joshua is commanding them to be ready to go fight with the rest of the people. Look, if you would, in verse 13. Remember the word which Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you, saying, the Lord your God hath given you rest, and hath given you this land. Your wives, your little ones, your cattle shall remain in the land which Moses gave you on this side of Jordan. But ye shall pass before your brethren armed, all the mighty men of valor, and help them, until the Lord hath given your brethren rest, as he hath given you. And they also have possessed the land which the Lord your God giveth them. Then ye shall return into the land of your possession and enjoy it, which Moses, the Lord's servant, gave you on this side of Jordan toward the sun rising. And they answered Joshua, saying, all that thou commandest us we will do, whithersoever thou sendest us we will go. Accordingly, as we hearken unto Moses in all things, so will we hearken unto thee. Only the Lord thy God be with thee, as he was with Moses. Whosoever he be that doth rebel against thy commandment, and will not hearken to thy words, in all that thou commandest him, he shall be put to death. Only be strong and of a good courage. Now, look back a moment, and I want to share a couple thoughts with you, if you don't care. They sung that song, Midnight Cry, and talked about the prophecies. You're seeing some things in today's Christianity that you need to be aware of. Everywhere you pick up books, everywhere you hear sermons, it's how to make a Christian life easier. The Christian life was not meant to be easy. There are going to be battles in the Christian life. Also, we keep hearing and people keep writing and telling the church how to make our church more world friendly, therefore we can grow in numbers and increase in size. That's a great danger that we live in right now. The Bible teaches us that the world will never love the gospel of Jesus Christ. The world will hate Jesus, and it will hate those who are carrying the true word of God. It will never be where they enjoy coming and uniting with a church that's preaching the word. Now, they might come, but if they come, they'll normally be converted or they will leave. They'll not stay in the midst thereof when the word of God is being preached. To a lost soul, the word of God is a sharp two-edged sword. It cuts and it pierces, and they have to make decisions, just like we did when the word of God come and cut us. It showed me I was lost. I didn't like it, but it showed me I was lost. It showed me I was going to hell, and I didn't like that either. But I knew it was true. Then I had to make some decisions in my life. What was I going to do? And so therefore, this idea in these last days that we're to make the church more world-friendly, we're to tone down the gospel of truth and substitute it with the gospel of prosperity or something along those lines, and we're supposed to back off a little bit with this preaching that Christian life has battles and burdens, and we're supposed to make it all that we're just old chummy with everybody and everything is just fine, and we hold hands with one another, sing Kubbalah. But that doesn't happen. That's not the way it works. The Bible does not teach any such Christianity as that. Now, when people think of Canaan and the children of Israel going into Canaan land, they think of them going to heaven. Canaan was not a type of heaven. Canaan was a type of a Christian life when you are able to conquer the flesh and began to live like the Lord wants you to live as a Christian. And what happened was, they were just as saved when they were in the wilderness for 40 years, going round and round and round as they were when they went into Canaan. Now, the only thing is, when they were in the wilderness, and they wasn't where God wanted them to be, He wanted them to be in Canaan. But because of their lack of faith, they was not able to go there and enjoy the benefits of living in Canaan as a Christian. And so what they did was, they wandered for 40 years. Was God with them? Yes. Did He feed them? Yes, He fed them manna from heaven every day. Did He supply water? Yes. But all they had to do was increase in faith, obey God, trust God, and they could go into a land that wasn't just feeding manna and water, but they were it was flowing with milk and honey. The grapes, it took two men to carry one bundle of grapes in that land. I mean, it had such an abundance of supply. Now, when we look at the land of Canaan, we realize that it is the same thing with us. We can be saved and spend our whole life going in the wilderness. What did they do? They murmured. They had no joy. They had but very few victories. They still had to fight battles there. But they were supplied by God. God was still with them. He let their shoes last for 40 years. He did many things for them, but they still murmured toward God all the time. Now listen to me a minute. We can be saved and not be happy. When we are in the wilderness living as Christians, and we don't have faith to trust God, but when we trust God, it's going to take some courage. We've got to stand on some things. You young people, you've got to stand. It's not going to be easy. They're going to be throwing a lot of things at you. They're going to be saying things and doing things. It takes courage. It doesn't take a lot of courage to go along with the crowd. It takes courage to stand up and say, I'm not going to do that. Amen. When everybody else is doing it, it takes some courage to say, I'm not going to do that. That's not what I'm going to do. That's not who I am. I know who I am, I know who I've served, and I'm going to serve Him. If they laugh, let them laugh. If they throw insults at you, let them throw insults at you. Now, it's easier for an old person to say that's not young. But young people, you've got to learn to be courageous. Joshua, Moses was dead, and now Joshua raised up. Now, let me say this. God don't have to have anybody. He can use anybody He wants to. But you young people need to understand something. This coming thing that you're doing for the church on the 22nd is just preparation. It's not going to be long till some of these folks and myself are gone. Somebody's got to pick up the torch. Somebody's got to carry it. And you know, it's sad to be saved. When I look at the children of Israel, it's so sad for 40 years. All they knew in life was murmuring, complaining, and never had really any good joy. And yet God was wanting them to just step across a river and go into the land of Canaan, and He was going to provide a more joyous, victorious Christian life. And they just complained about everything. Now listen to me a minute. Some of us, adults and young people both, find ourselves complaining about everything. We complain about everything. We complain about each other. We complain about us. We complain about what we do. We complain about what somebody don't do. Is there any joy in that? Isn't it much better to love one another, enjoy one another, thank God for what people does, and just learn to love and fellowship and have joy with one another? Well, see, what God wants us to do is he wants us to have faith and trust God. And so he mentioned several things that was good for Israel to do and also good for us. If they were going to go into the land of Canaan and they were going to get out of that immature, babyish Christian life and go into a mature Christian life where they could enjoy being a God's people, then he had some instructions for them. Now, let me say this. When you read the book of Joshua, it is a book of enemies. And let me say this. When you live for the Lord, you're going to have enemies. It's a book of wars. There's going to be wars. It's also a book that's got failures. There's times when you got to fail. You'll fail and you have to pick yourself up and go on. At the battle of Ai, when they went over there, the easiest battle that they had when they went over there to win, they lost it. You know why? They took their eyes off of God and they didn't obey God. There's going to be times when we fail, but we have to pick ourselves back up. Joshua got all weeping and fell on his face before God, crying and so forth, when they got whipped by the men of Ai. And God told him to stand up and act like a man. And he told him what to do. Go over to Achan, that took the property and hid it in the middle of his tent, and take care of the situation and go over there and conquer Ai. Now, let me show you a couple things that we have, that they had, that we still have. Now, notice in Ephesians, Paul said, we are to stand. We need to understand. We have enemies. Our enemies, as I've said many times, are not each other. Our enemies are not even the people out here. Our enemies are the high influence and the wicked influences that influences the world around us and the people that's involved. Okay? Now, look just a moment, if you would, in verse number 5. He says, therefore, there should not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. Do you understand that God has promised that we could be victorious? Now, we cannot conquer people by our own strength. But he has given us a means by which we can win battles. It's the same means that Israel had. Israel was not a great fighting force. Israel had one thing that the other nations didn't have, the Canaanites, Hittites, and all the other ones that they were going to face over there, Jebusites, all the other ones that they were going to face. They had one thing that they didn't have. They had God. Amen. Greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. And so you need to understand, and you young people need to understand, you're capable of winning any battle in your life because you have something that the world doesn't have. You have God. And God can work on so many different areas, and just like when they would go over there. I mean, they went, the first thing that they had to face was Jericho. And everybody thought that the walls of Jericho was impregnable and that nobody could conquer Jericho because of the strength of the city. You know what God did? He said, march around it 6 days. On the seventh day, march around it, blow your horn, and I'm going to have the walls come tumbling down. It was nothing with God. And God told them, he said, listen, you stay with me and no man will be able to conquer you. I don't care who you run into, you don't have to worry about it. There are going to be giants over there. As a matter of fact, that's what scared some of the Israelites off, the spies that went over there at first. They said, we'd be like grasshoppers compared to them. They're giants over there. Hadn't they learned? Or they learned later on. David went against a giant. That giant was nothing with David. Little shepherd boy just grabbed a rock, put it in a sling, swung it around a few times, hit him in the head, and he fell flat on his face. You know why? God was with David.
That's right. Amen.
Listen, folks, we don't have to be afraid of any battle that we face. We have a weapon that nobody else has. We have God. Amen. Look on in verse 5. Not only that, but he also promised, he said, as I was with Moses, so shall I be what? With thee. He never forsook them. He never left them. And you know what he promises us in Hebrews 13:5? I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. We are never, if you're a child of God, there's never a moment that you are without God. He's with you wherever you are. His presence is there. How many of you have ever gotten in a situation scared about what's happening and you prayed wherever you were at?
Yes.
And it didn't matter, but you bowed your head and you prayed to God. How many of you ever been in there? Isn't it good to know that God's with you? Sometimes we forget. But man, when we face and all of a sudden we run against something, isn't it good to have Him and know that He's there with us? And He promises that He would never leave us nor forsake us. Know that, look in verse 5. He says, so will I be with thee, and I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. So not only was His presence going to be with them, He promised that He would never forsake them. Not only that, but look at you in verse 6. He said, be strong, good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide the inheritance of the land, which I have sworn to the fathers to give them. In other words, He said, I promise I'm going to give you victory. The land that I promised Abraham over in Genesis chapter 12, verse number 7, is going to be yours, just like I promised. And therefore, He always keeps His promises. He said, just as I swear unto their fathers, I will give them. He promises us that He'll never lie. He can't lie. Everything He's promised is yea, yea, nay, nay. And so we have the promises of God. Now, how do we live a victorious life? How do we cross over? And how do we get in the land of Canaan and live as a Christian and enjoy being a Christian? Learn to trust God. Faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. Faith is a substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Faith is what's necessary. Now, know something else. He tells them, verse 7, He tells them that they have to, if they're going to do that, they've got to keep the law. In verse number 8, He says to meditate in the law. Keep it in your mouth. And He said, when you do and you honor the law, you'll prosper. Whatever you do. Now listen to us. Listen. He tells us we are not under law, but we're under grace. But He tells us to do the same thing with the Word of God. We are to use the Word of God. We're to keep the Word of God. We're to meditate upon the Word of God. We're to keep it in our hearts. Now listen to me a minute. You young people, listen to me. I'm afraid, now listen to me. I'm afraid we're getting a generation that's not getting the Word of God. It's not soaking in. You're not reading it. You're not studying it. You're not meditating upon it. You're not keeping it in your heart. Sometimes I ask questions over there. I don't get very many answers. It tells me that there's a lot of people not absorbing what's being taught. Young people, I'm going to tell you something. You're going to be easy prey if you don't have the Word of God. When you face the enemies out there, you got one weapon, and that's a sword. You got to learn to use a sword. You use a sword by knowing what the Bible teaches, not knowing what somebody preaches or what somebody else believes. Know what you believe. Know in whom you believe. Know in what it says. Because I'm going to tell you something. There's false teachers out there, and there's seducing spirits that's trying to get you to believe everything in the world. It sounds good, but it's not Bible. You better stay in the Bible. The Bible is the only power you got against the wiles of the devil. You know what Jesus used when He faced the devil? The Word of God. You know the only thing you've got to use? The Word of God.
Amen.
When you can't even pull up a verse, you don't even know what the doctrines are, you don't understand what the Bible teaches, my friend, it's like going out there against a giant and being empty-handed and not being able to do anything. You're going to get whipped. But if you go out there with the Word of God, it's amazing how God can take that Word just as He did David's little stone and drop a giant right in his tracks. That's because greater is He that's in us than he that's in the world. But just as He told Joshua, He said, you tell Israel, if they don't keep the law, they won't prosper. You won't prosper either unless you keep in the Word. You got to keep the Word close. Not only that, but also, He told them they had to stay ready in verse 10 and 11, talking to them to be ready to go over and to do whatever God laid upon their hearts and whatever God told them to do at that time to go over to the River Jordan. Then, of course, in verse 12 and through 15, he talks to the tribes of Gad and Reuben and half of Manasseh. He said, I want you to go over and I want you to have responsibility. You got to be there for your brother. Now listen to me. The people of God ought to stick together. You that's got Christian friends, listen to me, pay attention to me. You that got Christian friends, you ought to stick together. There's a lot of people out there that will destroy your life. It just takes one to move into your bunch and destroy your life. And therefore, what you need to do is you need to be strong. You need to understand. Now, notice here in verse 16, we're going to close here, but I want you to notice three things, verse 16, 17, 18. Verse 16, they were told to surrender their lives unto the Lord. If you're going to go and you're going to live in the land of Canaan as a Christian, and you're not going to go round and round in circles in the wilderness as a Christian, you've got to learn and you've got to surrender your life to the Lord. You've got to decide to do that. The second thing you've got to do is, verse 17, they said, if we obey Moses, we'll obey you. You've got to learn to be submissive to the word of God. People said, I don't like to be told. You'll never go nowhere with the Lord by having that attitude. You need to be submissive to what God's word says. Last but not least, he tells them they've got to live a separated life. Somebody said, I want to be like the world, look like the world, act like the world. We're never going to conquer anything by doing that. We've got to draw our lines. There are certain things, the Bible says, come out from among them and be ye separate. Amen. There's some things in which we've got to be separate. There's some things the world has that you don't want. You may think you want it, but you don't. Samson thought he wanted some things that Delilah had, but he found out that Delilah wasn't everything that she's cracked up to be. As a matter of fact, he found out that she was the worst mistake he ever made in his life. I'm afraid a lot of people does that when they let their guard down. Listen, folks. The Bible has predicted that Christians during the last days are going to be just the opposite from the days of Joshua. They were going from a time of wilderness Christianity to Canaan Christianity. We're going to time from a church of Philadelphia where the doors was open, people was walking down and being saved, to a time of Laodicea where we barely see anybody saved anymore. Where people has no joy. Jesus is going to spew most of them out of his mouth. You know, there was a time here at this church, there was a time when for 4 months we saw 69 people get saved in 4 months. We never had a service that we didn't have somebody walking the aisle getting saved. We don't see that no more. Something's going on, folks. There's a different spirit today than what they used to be. Amen. Jesus said that he would open doors and he would close the doors of the Church of Philadelphia. I believe the doors are being closed. I believe right now there's just a crack. It's not going to be long till the door shuts, and when the door shuts, no man will enter in.
That's right.
So if you're here and you're not saved, you better come before it's everlasting too late. But those of us who are saved, we need to understand that we have the same ability to stand, be strong, just as Joshua commanded them to be strong, the Lord commanded them to be strong, he's commanded us to stand and be strong. But we can only be strong in the Lord. And that's what it takes for each and every one of us. Let's stand tonight, if you would. Brother Porter, get a song of invitation.